Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles. I got to find out where I'm going tonight. It's a verse that we left off last week, Proverbs chapter 11. It's going to be a while before we get there. But we started something in our church here a couple weeks ago, and that is being a witness to the community that God has called us to. As a child of God, it is our duty and it is our responsibility to go forth into the community that we live in and to spread the gospel that has been spread to us. I am saved today because I had parents praying over me as a young person, and they instilled that into my life. They never forced it upon me. I'm thankful for that. I was able to come to that on my own. If I was forced into it, it would be a false conversion. And so I'm grateful that they sought the Lord on many occasions, not just my life, but the rest of my siblings' lives as well. And so because of that, they instilled in me the importance of being a witness to this community. And we're all here today because somebody has witnessed to us somewhere along the way. We all come from different backgrounds, Catholicisms, being a Methodist and things like that, being a Baptist. By the way, let me say this. Religion doesn't get you to heaven. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. And so many people cling on to their religion, and it's your faith in Jesus Christ. Without that, you have nothing. And but anyway, we are called to go out into this world. We're here to help Jesus fulfill the great commission that we are called to do. And we have a job that is tremendous, and we need the help, a lot of help, to get this done. And God's still not done saving souls. God's still not done using us to help out in those matters. And the great thing about that is he wants to use every single individual that's here tonight to go out and to bring people to him. So it is a great task. I've been thrilled the last couple times that we went out. I'm doing something just a little bit different than we've done in the past. I'll give it a little bit of analogy. I play sports growing up. One of my favorite sports was basketball. It still is my favorite sport besides golf right now, but I haven't been able to play basketball for the last couple years. But I wasn't always able to go out and start in the game. You always had to prepare for that situation. And so what we're doing right now, we're preparing people to learn how to be interactive with other people as they're going door to door. And so this is going to be a little bit of a process as we go out, which is why I tell people, if you come in contact with somebody, go ahead and begin to talk with them. Get your feet wet a little bit and things of that nature. So we're just doing something a little bit different because I thoroughly enjoyed having the amount of people that we've had these last couple times. I think we're right around close to 500 invites to the people of this town. And it's not because of one individual, it's because of many people coming together, seeing the need and having a desire to do those things. And we have a great task to do so. And we're going to finish this out here tonight. Before we get going, I gave you 7 points last week. I'm going to give you the rest of this tonight, which would be, I told you I had 15 points last week, so I got 8 points tonight. If we don't get through them, that's fine. My goal is not to get through them. My goal is to help us understand what we need to do. And so if I got to take longer time next week or the following week, that's fine with me as well. But let's have a word of prayer and let's ask God to work. God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. It is a great joy to be in your house tonight, to be around our brothers and sisters that you've allowed us to be a part of lives. God, I just pray tonight that you would help us again to continue to learn how to use the tools that you have given us to be a voice, to be a witness to the people that you have surrounded us with. God, their blood will be on our hands if we do not take the opportunity to speak to them about your son. So I pray that you'd help us to see the need. Without a doubt, every single one of us that's here tonight, we know of a lost person, whether it be a coworker, whether it be a family member. We know of somebody who is on their way to hell. And you have put us in their life for a reason. So God, I pray that you help us to capitalize upon those opportunities that you've given us. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, how do we win souls? Let's go ahead and pick up with this tonight. Well, let's read this verse before we get going on any further. Verse number 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." It is not us that wins. We are simply a vessel in God's work. We do lead, but Christ saves, and we must recognize that it is Christ and that it is not us. We must be willing and have a desire to open our mouths to speak of Jesus. So often we're opening our mouths, talking about all the events of the world that has went on throughout the week. We'll talk about sports, we'll talk about politics, we'll talk about work, and we speak of those things freely, but so often in our lives, we do not open our mouths and talk about Jesus Christ. And that is who we need to be speaking about. Another tool that we can use in our life as we win souls, I learned this from one of our missionaries, and that's Brother Ron Todd, or is our missionary to Costa Rica. And that is your testimony. Everybody is different in how we reach people. And so your testimony is very important. So that is another tool. We need to have a good testimony that reflects Jesus Christ and not a testimony that reflects the world. We must reveal to the world that their own sin is taking them to hell. A separation from God for eternity. That's one of man's greatest mistakes that they'll ever make in their life, is not coming to Jesus Christ and asking him for forgiveness of sins, because that will separate them for eternity. They need to understand the importance of repenting of sins and turning to Jesus, which is why, as I said, our testimony is another tool. You and I have to live that Christ-like life as we go about living for Jesus. They must see Jesus as we go about every single day in our lives. That is important for them to see. Some people get scared when witnessing, but God will give us the words to say. I bet you I can ask a question here tonight. Who was scared yesterday when they saw an individual in their garage or in their house? It's natural. You begin to get scared. I get scared, I get intimidated, and I get nervous. And sometimes when you get nervous, you don't know what to say. I was talking to Isaac a little bit before I got up here. We actually had the privilege to pray with one another. And by the way, it is a great privilege to be able to pray with my nephew, who has been a part of our life now for the last couple years. And he was talking about just a little bit of his deal, and I said, "Man, I get nervous every time I speak." And he goes, "Well, how do you do it? How do you get up there?" And I said, "I pray. I pray. Because I know God will give me the words and God will calm my spirit that I need to have." And so people get scared when it becomes time to be witnessing, but God will give us the words to say. It is important that we keep in mind that our confidence is in the truth of the Word of God, knowing the Scriptures, memorizing the Scriptures, and having notes that are easily attainable, whether they be in your Bible or whether they be in a notebook that you can have right at your side. There must be a pleading for the souls of men, and persuade men lovingly, not harshly. I've seen men really attack other men as they begin to witness. I've seen such a harshness that would more than likely turn somebody away. But you must deal with people lovingly. You're dealing with a soul that will either go to hell for eternity or will go to heaven for eternity. And so you must deal with them lovingly, being compassionate with them. Having a sincerity in your voice should be recognizable to the people that you are dealing with, letting them see the love and the compassion that you have for them. We must be willing to labor. There is labor that is involved. When others see us working for Christ, they will see that we are serious about his business. In the neighborhoods that we went to yesterday, there's probably about 20 of us that went along. And I can almost guarantee you, as they saw us get out of the van and the other vehicle that was there, they were probably saying, "This group is serious. What are they doing in my neighborhood? What are they trying to spread? We're trying to spread Jesus Christ. We do have a seriousness about us. And we must labor. We must go forth. And I will say this, the reward at the end will be worth it all. It'll be worth giving up a Saturday for an hour or two, giving up some of the things that we would want to do otherwise. It will be worth the reward towards the end. Passing out tracts wherever you are. One of the greatest soul winners that I know of this day is my brother-in-law, Kurt. I would encourage, man, I want to call him up because I know most of my family is going to be down in Florida. Is it down there? Yeah, it's down there. I'm thinking up. I just want to get my directions correctly. They're going to be down there in a couple weeks. And I would think it would be really great if the nephews and nieces that are going and my daughter would say, hey, Uncle Kurt, take us out. Show us what you do and how you do it. I believe that would be a life learning experience for them because he is one of the greatest persons that I know that has such a great compassion. He'll go out and wherever he's at, he'll put tracks on cars. He'll go inside the grocery stores and things of that nature and just give people God's word. We need to be passing out tracks. Call and visit others. Write letters and allow them to see the sincerity and compassion. Yesterday morning, as we went out, we dropped off a group here and we dropped off a group there. And most of you folks don't know this. I'm trying to baby my older brother, Jeff. And I'm trying to keep him off his feet as much as possible. And so I had it in my mind, and something I'm trying to incorporate as long as we're trying to do this, is visit other church people that we have not seen in a long time because of COVID. And I tell you what, we had a great privilege to go out and visit one of our church members. And it was such a sweet time to be able to see them and to be able to hug them. And it was just great because they're able to see the compassion that we have for them. And they saw the sincerity in those things as well. There's cost of being a soul winner. There truly is. When you're serious about being a soul winner, there will be costs. There may be unexpected phone calls in the middle of the night from a soul who is being convicted and needs to be directed. You may lose friends and possibly family members over your stand for God. As a soul winner, we must be willing to do what God wants. Be what God wants, give what God wants, and suffer as God wants. It will be worth it. The cost may seem great now, but when Christ takes an individual out of the depths of hell and places his name in the book of life, brothers and sisters, it will be worth the cost. Soul winner's reward. There are many great benefits when winning souls. One, you will receive a crown in heaven and a jewel added for each soul. You will be pleasing your heavenly Father. You will know that another soul has been saved from hell. Most importantly, the reward is pleasing the Lord Jesus. Brings gratitude, brings affection to Jesus, and ultimately it glorifies him when seeing a desire in our heart to win others. By us pleasing him, he awards us with his blessing. I don't know about you, but when I've had a privilege and the opportunity to lead some to the Lord, it has been a great joy in my life. What a great opportunity that God has entrusted a soul in my life at that point in time to be able to go through the Romans road and to be able to pray with them as they call upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It is a great privilege, and there are rewards in that. And I'm thankful for those things. The soul winner's life and work. This is not something we put on and take off every day. It should always be on. Every day we should have the focus of winning souls continual. I believe when my brother-in-law wakes up, I believe there's something going through his mind. Who am I going to reach for the Lord today? What car can I put this track on, or what house can I knock on to invite them to church and to give them the word of God? We must be focused. We should never lose focus. We put a lot of focus into the entertainment things of this world, sports, Hollywood, things of those nature. And those are things that are just, they're temporary. But we put a lot of focus, a lot of time, and a lot of energy when we need to be focusing on winning souls for Christ. It is a continual process. We are saved and our old nature has died. Those things should be no longer attracted to us. We should be attracted to this new way of living, and that is bringing souls with us. We should have new desires. We have a new work, and soul winning should be done always. At work, there will be opportunities that we need to utilize. You can talk about Jesus at work. You can do those things. There have been many opportunities that I've had to be able to talk to coworkers. Matter of fact, they even come to me nowadays to get some advice and things of that nature. And there is a reward in those things. And we need to be seeking not only to win our family members, but our coworkers as well. We need to be seeking those things. To be saved means we should have the desire to win others. When is the last time that you have won a soul to Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you sat down, whether it be in the morning, afternoon, or evening, that you've asked God to give you somebody in your life to win them for Jesus Christ? When was that time? So you and I should have somebody on our mind all the time seeking to give them the gospel and asking that God would work in their life, that God would begin to reveal himself to them so that they too can have what you have. You know, churches would be full, and I'm talking full across this world, if we would take this thing of soul winning seriously. It is our duty, it is our job as a believer to win souls for Jesus Christ. It's not up to the pastor, it's not up to the deacons, it's not up to trustees, it's up to us as children of God to go out and to win souls for him. But so often we get distracted and we lose our place along the way, but we can get back to those things. We should never pass on an opportunity to witness. I have been there on many different occasions. I have passed on many different opportunities. And I will tell you this, those opportunities haunt me to this day. I can still see the individuals' faces. One of the things that I don't know if it's a blessing at times, but it is a blessing. I can recount things and I can see things so vividly in my mind. I can still remember my grandpa at the age of four in his top hat and his long trench coat reaching down with his coin purse allowing me to get my hand in there and to grab a nickel. Little did I know that my sister got quarters, but us boys got nickels. And so God has blessed me with that type of a memory, but sometimes it's not a blessing because I can still see those individual faces that I have come in contact along the way and have not reached out to them and given them the gospel. I hope someone along the way came in on my behalf to give them the gospel. Because I know that if they didn't, when we're called into glory, guess what? Their blood will be upon my hands. Their blood will be upon my hands. We need to take the opportunity to witness. We are known by our fruit. And to be a soul winner, people will see that we follow God. With a desire to be a soul winner, it will motivate other Christians to have an eagerness to win souls. I don't know if you've seen what's taking place, but we grew in numbers yesterday as we went out. Why? Because people are seeing the excitement of going out and hopefully being that voice and given that tract that now is on the back of our flyer, and people can take those inside and they can read those and have a nice plan of salvation and they can get saved in their home. And people are getting excited about those things. It energizes and motivates other believers to win souls. It brings great pleasure when God sees our desire to fulfill the Great Commission. Also, the Bible says that we just read, "He that winneth souls is wise." This shows us the importance of pursuing winning souls. Soul winning explained, we see that without Christ, there is no hope, there is no future. But if we aren't putting in the labor, we will not see souls saved. See, there's labor that needs to be in on our part. We need to put forth the labor, we need to put forth the effort, so that we can have fruit upon our account. As I said last week, there's probably folks in this church that are going to heaven fruitless. They're going to heaven with no souls on their account. And it's not my fault. It's not pastor's fault. It is your fault for not having that desire to win souls. Souls need to be saved. God has entrusted us with the privilege to witness for him. It was never meant for us to be idle. It was never meant for us to be lazy, leaving it up to the pastor, but up to each individual of the church, it is our responsibility. God wants to use us. You and I are very usable. It doesn't matter about how young you are. It doesn't matter about how old you are. God wants to use you. Tonight, as we met tonight and begin to pray, there was a name that was mentioned that just stuck out to my mind, is sticking out to me right now. And it was a mom asking prayer for her daughter to get saved. And that's little Leia. And she needs salvation. I guarantee you this, you keep praying, you keep giving her the gospel, she will call upon the Lord as her personal Savior. And what a great day that will be. It was cute too, as she heard her name, she says, "That's me." She had no idea what we were talking about at that point in time. But you know what? It brought me back to when I was a child, just thinking and reminiscing about my mom and dad praying for me at that young age. And it brought me back to when Chris and I were young parents and began praying for our daughter for salvation in her life. And it's, man, what a great thing. What a great privilege to see those things take place. But God wants to use us. We should have the desire to win souls daily. God gives us wisdom. We need to use it. We need to have compassion on souls. The same type of compassion that Jesus had when he was on the cross thinking of you and I. We need to show ourselves friendly as Jesus did when he was on this earth. We need to be a person, an individual with the desire and compassion as Jesus. When we pass up on the opportunity to witness, we will be accountable for that soul for spending eternity in hell. We need to have boldness. We need to pray for boldness as we go forth to overcome our fears and to overcome our pride. We should not worry about being embarrassed. God has a desire to use every single individual. There's no need to be embarrassed about what Christ has done in your life. There's no need for it at all. I'm excited what God has done in my life. I was destined for hell. I was on my way to hell, and God saved my soul. Saving souls should be our business. Should be our business. But we put a lot of effort into many other things that are just temporal. Souls are eternal. Not everyone is called to preach. Not everybody is called to teach. But every child of God has been called to spread the gospel. This is something that should consume our thoughts every single day. We should have a goal of reaching someone every single day. You know, Jeff threw out a challenge this morning. Can we rehearse it a little bit? What was that challenge? Can anybody tell me off the top of their head? Uncle Greg? To read your Bible in 4 months. He threw that challenge out. I'm going to throw out another challenge. I think it's a great challenge. Win one soul in 4 months. 4 months. Do you think God can do it? Without a doubt. You think God will use you to do it? Without a doubt. You want to be used by God? Ask God to use you. I would encourage you to have that challenge in your life. When we close our eyes at night, we should be thinking of souls to win. The best tool that a soul winner can use is realizing that you are never alone. Jesus is always with you. You know, I have had the opportunity on many different occasions to go with a few pastors, and our pastor included, out on door knocking. And I've often wondered myself, how do they make it look so easy? And it finally clicked. It's not about them. It's God, through the Holy Spirit, giving them the boldness and the ability and the capability to speak. I've seen it time and time again, where words just would flow out of their mouths, and they're probably never thinking about how that happened. But I've seen God work in those things. You're never alone. God will give you the tools. God will give you the voice that you need to have. He's always with you. The Word of God is the ultimate tool in winning souls for Him. We put on our flyer the other day, the Word of God, a plan of salvation, and that is now in the homes. It might have went to the trash at this point in time in some homes, But we made it to the homes. And God will work. I can guarantee you that. The Word of God is the ultimate tool. We're not always going to be the people who are going to see every soul saved, but we should try within ourselves to have the goal to see as many come to Christ as we can. When we see a soul saved, it will be rewarding to watch God work in their life and to see them pardoned and freed from their sin. They were guilty. Their sin, their guilt was taken into hell, but God saved their soul. They've been pardoned. They've been set free. It's been amazing, as I've witnessed on a few occasions, people accepting Jesus Christ, and immediately you would see the release of the burden that they've been carrying around for years. It's almost as if a weight has been lifted off of their shoulder because they realized, I have been bound. I have been destined to go to a place that I don't want to go to. And they realize what they've done. They realize they have been pardoned and they have been set free. And that's because God gave us His Son to die upon the cross, who shed His blood for you and for me. We've been pardoned and set free because of that. But we have to accept that. We have to accept that. We need to make the business of soul winning important in our life. It is easy to become caught up in our own desires and not concerned about God's work. We need to recognize how serious our duty is. We need to be careful not to be consumed with keeping our earthly life ahead of a spiritual life. Our material things, they do not matter at all when compared to eternity. If you're more concerned about building your kingdom here, and you're not concerned about winning souls for Christ, there's something wrong with that individual. It is a daily business of prayer, compassion, and love. We must realize that our desires must be to see souls saved. If we do not, we have dishonored our God. And our heart should seek to glorify God, not to dishonor Him. Paul is a great example of a soul winner. We should have desire that he had in reaching men. The tools that Paul used are the same tools that we have today. And here they are: the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. They're the same. Nothing's changed. They still work. The difference is we might not have the desire that Paul had. You remember how Paul lived his life? Majority of his life, he was causing havoc upon the Christians, killing them, putting them in prison, torturing them. But there is such a drastic change in the life of Paul after he was converted. And what was that? That change was having men come to and women come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are instructions in soul winning. Realize that we need to be taking instructions from Jesus Christ. When He says in the Bible, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," His instructions are important. We need to learn to follow Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, we will become fishers of men, seeking to save souls. Last night, I was driving around the lake. We went out as a family real quick. It was a beautiful night out yesterday. That didn't make sense. It was a beautiful night out last night. And we hadn't eaten yet. It was a little bit late, and that happens in our household on occasions. And we're trying to figure out what to do. And we decided, well, we're going to go to Doozy's. But everybody in Council Bluffs seemed to have that same idea. So we passed up on Doozy's, and we settled for the best pizza in this town ever, and that's Casey's Pizza. And so we had a little bit of a wait, and so we just pulled off to the bank just a little bit south of Doozy's, and we just pulled in and had a beautiful sunset going just overlooking the lake and the ugly lily pads that are there. And there's a fisherman off to the left of me. And I've never seen a guy on multiple occasions just cast his line into the lily pads and never get a snag. And he was determined to catch a fish. We must have been there for 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes. And the guy never gave up. And I thought to myself, that guy is determined to catch a fish. That guy is determined to go to places not desirable. Fishing in lily pads for me is not desirable. You know what that is? That's a guaranteed snag. And at the age of 46, I will call my brother and say, could you get this snag out for me? I kid you not. But I saw the determination. He wasn't giving up. You know, that's what you and I need to have. Determination. Going into those undesirable places and continuing to put in the effort and continuing wanting to be fishers of men. Following Jesus means taking action, going out, looking for souls. Following him means to be separate unto Christ, leaving our earthly treasures, sacrificing in to be an effectual soul winner for him. Stand out among the crowd, not to see us, but to see Christ. Make a difference. Being separate is we are not to have the worldliness in our lives. Christ should be illuminated in us. Abiding with him, we should have a close relationship with him, willing to live with him, associate with him, so that the people will know that we are in Christ. We must be willing to obey Jesus, trusting Jesus and what he wants us to do. How can we accomplish his work if we are not obedient to him? We sing a song, a majority in our church, is called Trust and Obey. We sing it, it comes off our lips so easily, but that is the hardest thing to do in life, is to trust God and then to obey him when he tells us or calls us to do something. We need to trust in him. Willing to give up our reputation of who we once were before Christ as our Savior. We need to imitate Jesus rather than imitate this world. His life and what he lived and breathed should be what men see in our life. To be an effective soul winner, you cannot live within the world. We should be sold out for seeing our friends and our family saved. Instead of being the best athlete, we should seek to be the best for Christ. We need to deny ourselves and put off the old man. And I'll end with this encouragement to our soul winners. We can be encouraged by knowing that we have a part in leading an unbeliever who is on their way to hell to turn to Jesus for eternal life. We have the ability within from God to win souls. We have the tools to use to show the importance of the need of Jesus. Once they see the wickedness of sin in their lives and repent of these sins and ask God to dwell in their hearts, how encouraging to know that their sins are forgiven, hidden from God for eternity. As the song says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. What a great day when we see the people that we prayed for, sacrifice time with family, went above and beyond our own ability, dwelling in heaven for eternity, knowing that a soul is no longer bound to the chains of hell, but rather free to spend eternity with the Savior of man. That should be encouraging. And let me say this, never give up. I know of people that have been praying for people for 10, 15, 20 years, never, ever giving up on them. We've seen it in our own church. But I'm going to ask you to do this. So often we say, hey, would you pray for my family member to be saved? And I agree with you full-heartedly on that, but I'm going to encourage you to do this. Don't leave it up to me. Don't leave it up to Pastor. But you need to be seeking God on their behalf. You are the one who knows them best. You are the one who talks to them, walks with them. You need to put action into your prayers. And I hope that is a great encouragement to you. Do we have a big task ahead of us? Yes, we do. But let me say this. We have a big God who can help us overcome this task, who will help us along the way. I'm excited to see what's going to take place in the future of this church as we continue to do these things. When I start something, there's no quitting. We keep going forward. There might be discouragement along the way. There might be some setbacks. But I'm going to say this. Open Door Baptist Church will never stop giving the gospel to this community. It's important that we do what God has asked us to do, to win souls for His Son, who gave His life for you and for me. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Let's have a word of prayer. And when I'm done, for those who are interested in working in VBS, please come up here as quick as possible. And for those who are not, I say this very nicely, get out as quickly as you can and visit with Pastor out there and shut the doors behind you so that we can have a good quality meeting. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You, Lord, that You have a desire to use us. You will equip us to do Your work. Your word says that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Maybe we're not effective at times because we're not putting on the whole armor. You've given us the tools, but Lord, somewhere along the way, we lose our focus. We lose our desire. But God, I pray tonight that You would renew that within every single one of us that's here tonight, young or old. God, I pray that You be glorified through all that is said and done. Lord, if we were just to reach one soul out of this whole entire town, as I said earlier, it will be worth it all. One soul. So God, I pray for that one soul tonight. We ask You these things in Your name. Amen.